Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. This is the ZABEcast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Feeling kind of mean. Thursday, April 18, 2024. Thank you for downloading. Let's get to it. Well, that didn't take long, huh, kids? Who could have seen this coming, right? Leagues jumping in bed with gambling outfits, promoting gamble, over-unders, parlays, prop bets, and lo and behold, an NBA player has now been banned. As David Stern once said, or no, it was Adam Silver, when he banned Donald Sterling. As Adam Silver said when Sterling got banned, Jonte Porter has been banned for life! I love that rising inflection. Over pretty much gambling and providing information and then manipulating his own point totals and over-unders in addition to betting on NBA games that he was involved in and betting against his own team, the Raptors, and them winning those three games. He went 0-3 betting against his own team. And some of the amounts of his wagers were so small, you'd say, wait, that can't be right. I think $15 was the lower end of it. Almost like Shohei's interpreter, his low end. So here we go again. And tonight, as I was turning on ESPN to settle in to watch some of the NBA play in action, what were they doing on ESPN? They were making sure to say, time now for our best bets in the NBA, brought to you by FanDuel. Mike Wilbon, who you got tonight? And they went down the line. One, two. And I just wonder if any of them, I mean, Wilbon is old school Big J journalist from back in the day. I just wonder if deep down he's like, yeah, this makes me feel slimy. Probably not. When you wake up in silk sheets in a $5 million house with a $8 million salary, you're probably like, yeah, whatever. Gamble? Sure. What do I care? Of course, the league, to me, and I don't think this scandal is going to hurt the league one bit. It's going to float right on down the river. Some people are going to applaud it as, well, the commissioner did the right thing. Swift action, prompt investigation, and the most severe consequence you could possibly have. But I wouldn't go that far. But it's not going to hurt the league because the league has morphed unrecognizably from what it once was, which is a real sports league with actual competition and athletes who cared about winning on a regular basis, day to day, week to week, game to game, into an entertainment product. And it's a hell of an entertainment product. And I do enjoy the shit out of the NBA from about right now when the playoffs begin until mid-June. It's fun. It's intense. It's good level basketball. It's the best in the world. Is it always officiated equitably? Fuck no. Do I think all these guys are trying for the full four quarters, even in the playoffs? No. Some guys like James Harden, they won't even try in a game six if they feel like the series is lost. They'll play as if they're smoked up to the window shields, smoked up to the top of the roof of their car and don't give a shit. And then they'll lose game six and go to a strip club afterwards like, what? Was I not supposed to do that? We just lost at home. Lost by like 50 it was. There's so many things along the way that made me stop taking the NBA seriously while still enjoying it as an entertainment product from around mid-April now until June, and it's almost hard to even count them all. Hell, I'll start with the whole bent or frozen envelope with Patrick Ewing to the Knicks. Yes, I am a 85 lottery rigging believer. Whether the envelope was frozen or whether it was dog-eared, by the way, it got slammed into the side of the bin. I've watched the videos. I've read the articles. I'm like Mulder in the X-Files. I believe. I want to believe, said Scully. Well, Mulder believed. I believe in that. Hell, game six, Knicks-Lakers, fourth quarter, playoffs, circa 2002. Google it. It's the most outrageously lopsided officiating you've ever seen. Of course, then came Tim Donaghy, Mr. Donaghy. Anthony Davis to the Lakers more recently, where it's like, hey, you can't just steal him. Yeah, no, we're just going to steal him. There's all these things about the CBA and his contract and everything else, but guess what? He just wants to play with LeBron, and he's sick of waiting, so yeah, we're going to take him. During the pandemic, all the BLM sloganeering on the court and on the jerseys was way over the top and absurd. Travels that are not called on a nightly basis, the flopping that has become a cancer on the league, the fact that they don't give a shit about the All-Star game anymore to the point where they're at the verge of canceling it, load management, guys that get traded just because they're an attractive salary drop, they're like, okay, good. You got a huge salary. We can use that as ballast against what we're going to send away from us to somebody else. We'll take you on, and then we will write you off. We will literally cut you the next day. And they have accounting rules in the collective bargaining agreement that make it beneficial to take on a guy that's making too much money and then fucking cut him right away. And I mean, making $30, $40 million a year. Good Lord. So that's just a short list of why I don't take the NBA seriously, but do I enjoy it? Of course I do. And as soon as I'm done recording, I'm going to go back to watching these two play-in games because they were good entertainment the other night. Very lively crowds, both in New Orleans and Sacramento, and the lads played hard. Looks like they played hard for the whole game, which is great. They do care, I guess, about the play-in game at least. So there's that. Rory McIlroy staying put with the PGA Tour, he said on Tuesday at Harbortown, as rumors began to heat up about he's going to live for $850 million and a 2% stake in the company. Good for Rory. I'm no longer a Rory stan. I don't hate him, but I'm just off of the super fanboy wagon. He did say, I will finish my career on the PGA Tour. I don't know if he muttered under his breath, I will finish my PGA Tour career on the PGA Tour. Well, wait, what was that in the middle? Sounded like you slipped in there something else. No, I just said I'm going to finish my PGA Tour career on the PGA Tour. Didn't you hear me? I keep asking my golf buddies via text, what would Rory do with that $850 million? He's already got $150 million in the bank. And the trite answer is always, well, you would set up your kids for generational wealth. Generational wealth, they say. Generational wealth can often be a curse, especially when it's generational wealth that is not attached to an actual business. If you hand down generational wealth, but you also hand down, say, the reins of General Electric to your K kids and your grandkids and everything else, that's different. Now they're now running the company and they've got to figure out a way to keep it relevant going forward. And so they're actually working. If you're an athlete and you provide generational wealth to your kids and your grandkids, well, the chances are they're not going to be good enough athletically to follow in your footsteps. So then what are they going to do? They're either going to find their own way in life and be just fine, maybe, or they will turn out to be trust fund douchebag slackers. Everybody who's known a trust fund guy, raise your hand. I knew one, actually super nice guy, not a douchebag, very humble, but boy, did he float through life at the most leisurely of tempos because he didn't have to worry about money. So good for Rory, but what would he do with all the money? Honestly, he's already got more money than he can spend on himself. And hell, if it was me, I wouldn't want to leave that much money to my kids. I don't want that much money for myself. You know my stance on lotteries. I want to win about $5 million. Half goes to the government, 2.5 goes to me. With that little amount, relatively speaking, for a lottery win, it's easy to say no to people. Hey, man, you just won the lottery. Could I borrow? No. Like, I'm just hoping that 2.5 keeps up with inflation the way things are going. Speaking of money, before we get to Mr. X and more on the NBA and whatnot, apparently Darren Revelle is the only one out there who's saying that Caitlin Clark took a pay cut to go to the WNBA. And I see him getting attacked by people and mocked by people, and that's what, you know, people do. And I am very, you know, Darren Revelle neutral, if not slightly positive, because I'm fascinated at his obsession with collectibles. He's got a new company out called Collect, C-L-L-C-T. And I don't think he's wrong in this specific regard. People are coming at him saying, because, you know, Caitlin Clark adds a new sponsor every 5 days, it seems. And like, oh yeah, boy, she's really going to take a pay cut. Look at you, you dope. He didn't say that she wasn't going to get or carry over any endorsements just because she goes to the WNBA. He just said that Iowa, her value there is easily $1 million, probably closer to two, and they would have found in their nil collective at Iowa to pay her that one to 1.5. That's still in addition to all the commercial opportunities that she still has now, and she would pick up even more if she came back for that last college hurrah. So I believe Revelle is actually technically right that she is losing about $1 million this year because Iowa could have paid it, would have paid it in their nil collective. That would be outside of her endorsements, which she would still have, whereas the WNBA only pays $78,000. Now, the big caveat is you might not go as far in the tournament. You might get injured in college. Then the room kind of clears out to a certain extent. The phenomenon may run its course of her at Iowa where you're like, oh, God, I've got Caitlin Clark fatigue. So that has to be factored in. But most importantly, Indiana was sitting on the 1-1. And for a Midwest girl from the cornfields of Iowa, that's where she wants to be, Indiana. For a lot of reasons, you don't need me to spell out. But it's a good spot for her, and she's making a ton of money off the court, and she'll definitely raise WNBA ratings whenever she plays. Rest of the league, I can't say. But now, of course, people are bitching about, I can't believe she makes so little money. President Biden tweeting that out, which is a low-hanging piece of completely illogical, economically illiterate fruit. The WNBA has never made money. The NBA has made so much money, it's been able to afford being the sugar daddy for the W for 30 years. I think I saw a figure that the NBA's rough annual revenue is $10 billion. The WNBA's annual revenue is $100 million. Now, that's pretty good, $100 million. They do have a lot of teams, though. But a billion is 10 100 millions. So, yeah, so that's 10 times. Like, So basically, the NBA is 100 times more profitable than the WNBA. That's why Caitlin Clark makes only 78 grand. Now, what would be 100 times 78,000? Carry the two, slide on the one, there's a comma in there. It feels like, don't quote me, that she should make about $7.8 million comparably in the NBA, which, I don't know, sounds to me like a typical rookie salary. I think. I don't know. Don't quote me. My math is often terrible. For those who subscribe to the Zabecast, not only do you get Fridays with me, Scott, and Solly, the original OG, first team on Fox, in all of our foul-mouthed glory, uninterrupted for nearly an hour every Friday, rekindle the good old vibes of the greatest show that should have never been canceled, you'll also get today's Zabecast absolutely ad-free. So you got that going for you. Just make sure once you subscribe and sign up to be a true one percenter and fork over your $4.53 a month to me, that you make sure to download all of your podcasts from the premium feed or vertical, the premium podcast, and that way you'll get all of these ad-free. For those who are still enjoying the commercial version that you skip through, perhaps, or listen to our advertisers and say, you know what, I'm going to try that. Now you're going to get a quick shot of commercials, and when we come back, Mr. X. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. My man.
Hello.
Well, that didn't take long, did it? The NBA's, well, the NBA's already had to suspend a player for gambling. What a dipshit. Oh, my God.
I'm behind.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not. I'm in Maine. I'm behind.
You didn't hear about this? I'm calling you today, and you have no idea of this. This is so awesome and also hilarious at the same time. You ready?
Let's hear it.
Okay. Yep. So the NBA finished their investigation on Jontay Porter. He gone. Suspended for life.
Whoa.
For gambling violations. How do you like them apples?
Well, they're setting a precedent.
Yes, they are. But this is what everyone said as soon as these leagues decided to suddenly not be opposed to gambling as a threat to the integrity of their leagues, and then say, oh, we love gambling and embrace it every step of the way. People said, well, players are going to start betting on games. Nah, they already make too much money.
Wrong. I make too much money, but I still gamble on games.
Right. And get this. Jonte Porter's bets, he placed at least 13 of them using an associate's online betting account. And they ranged from $22,000.
Oof.
As a low end, you're going to ask, right, Mr. X?
Okay.
22 dimes is a low end. Hell, he's an NBA player, right? He's a scrub. He's like a two-way guy who goes down to the G League and back up, or at least he did.
Yeah.
No, that was the high end. You want to know you want to know the low end of this dipshit's bets?
What do you got?
$15.
Sounds like more than one guy using that account.
Right, exactly. But still. So the NBA said the total payout from the bets was $76,000 for a net winnings of a whopping $21,965. None of the bets involved in any which Porter played, however. Three of the bets, though, were parlays, including one that included a bet on the Raptors to lose. All three bets lost, according to the NBA. I love how they put that detail in there. Not that it matters. Like, yeah, right. He was gambling on our league and his own team, and he fucking sucked. He still couldn't win.
Wow. I mean, this, you know, we've all known this is coming. And the question is the example made out of, you know, a big name or a little name? And I thought the rule was if you got caught, you had to go play baseball for 2 years.
Well, yeah. Well, knowing how some of these guys throw a baseball now, when you see them doing first pitches, they literally could not even play baseball because they can't throw a baseball. Yeah. A sportsbook industry source said that books were noticing a surge in betting on Porter prop plays in two games in question. Some of those betting accounts attempted to place much larger than normal bets in both instances. In those two games, lo and behold, Porter left the game early.
Yeah, I heard that.
With, like, the most bogus of injuries, like an eye injury suffered. Like a sore eye is what they called it. Oh, my eye is sore. He started the game, played the game, or at least was in the game, and then said, I can't go, my eye is sore.
Sounds like Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, exactly. So this story on the heels of the Otani story, my question is, are we done now with high-profile players, or is this just the beginning? Will this go on for as long as the leagues are in bed?
Man, Zabe, I got two thoughts. Number one, he shouldn't be kicked out for gambling, but he should be kicked out for being an idiot.
Well, exactly.
Okay? I mean, come on, dude. What are you doing? What are you doing? Help your buddies hit a couple prop bets? I mean, just come on. Okay. Yeah. And number two, no. How? I'm not going to sound like a holy righteous dude. You know that's not me. But
right.
How in the world can you sit? This is like 1964, dad with Marlboros rolled up in his sleeves, puffing all day long saying, kids, don't smoke.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you do, Dad.
How many times can we say, don't do this, it's wrong? By the way, the next commercial brought to you by Caesars. What are we doing?
Well,
you just can't.
Well, I just listed all the things that for the last 20 years has made me realize if you take the NBA seriously, you're a mark. I enjoy the NBA, but it is the most warped and absurd at times professional league we have. Is the basketball at the highest level in the postseason exciting? Yes, it is. I like it. I'll even gamble out on myself from time to time using, of course, mybookie.com promo code Zabe. But to take the league seriously, it's like, what are you, a fucking child? Like, the load management. Who knows when these guys are going to play and how much effort they're actually going to give.
Yeah, and I know I've said this on your show many a times, but golly, it's been at least a dozen years that I've had the rule in my house with the boys growing up that there's not a lot of rules in my house. There was only one.
Well, okay.
No NBA at the dinner table. I'm not going to listen to it. And I always said the same thing. If they don't care, why should we?
So, yeah, your boys loved it because your boys played basketball and baseball, a lot of basketball as well. And they, yeah. You know, the younger generation still loves the NBA. And I get it. Okay. I get it. But yeah, the amount of time that some people put into the NBA, I look at guys like Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo and others. And I think, you know what? Good for you guys. I would shoot myself if I spent an hour on a podcast in the middle of February talking about whether or not it made sense that Jamal Murray could be included in a 3-team, 5-player trade because of his impending, you know, salary cap bump that's going to put the Jazz into the second apron of the luxury tax. Bam, dead. Yeah. I've just killed myself talking about that.
Oh yeah, but they can.
I know they can, and they do.
They can do it to no end, and it's crazy. All I ever say is, please tell me you spend as much time on finance class as you do the NBA. That's all I can say.
Right, exactly. Jeez. So I've already predicted this scandal is going to be a popcorn fart in an elevator, and it's going to be gone by the time it reaches the garage level, and it's just going to keep on washing down the river. I mean, the Ohtani thing looks like it's wrapping up, which is something you did want to talk about today. I can't remember how much we've talked about on air, the Ohtani.
I don't know thing. Either. Well, we're on the same boat. I don't remember either.
Okay, well, let's take it from fresh eyes. What is your unified theory on whether or not it was Ohtani or his bookie?
I don't know, and I don't, and we'll never know. But I will say the only thing I can say of value on this, I had a guy, a West Coast baseball guru, ask me last night, how does anybody get in for millions of dollars when they make couple hundred thousand a year? And I said, dude, it's easy. And I call it the Soprano fallacy. The Sopranos ruined people's vision of gambling back in the day.
Right.
Because on the Sopranos, you might remember, I can't remember the characters. Guys got in a little bit, some kids, they were college, this and that. They got in deep. And next thing you know, they were pouring battery acid on their toes.
Right.
Remember that on The Sopranos? Because
I believe that was when Junior or AJ was being used as a proxy threat by his high school buddies to be like, hey, you better fucking pay up. That was just one bookie gambling scene. I referenced the sporting goods store owner who went to high school with Tony Soprano, who got in deep, and they just let him get in deep until he couldn't pay, and then came into the store and started making him order shit from vendors that he knew he was never going to pay back. He's like, oh my God, it's starting. Here's the first letter. It's a lawsuit, you know?
Well, yeah, and the point of that was this whole mystique from The Sopranos of, oh, you bet what you can't pay, and
then they got you. Laugh.
They're going to break a leg. They're going to do that. That's such bull. We talked about this 25 years ago.
Okay.
My answer is this. Go ahead. What?
It's bull, but it does exist in some.
I just don't. I'm
well,
sure
you haven't
does.
Seen it. I haven't seen it because we're not degenerates in Manhattan.
Oh, bull, in the Bronx. I'm a degenerate.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but you would roam the mean suburban streets of Fairfax County. Well, so a little bit different there.
Yeah, but the answer is this. What I said to the guy who asked me last night is a normal, granted everything today is online, point, click, blah, blah, but a normal bookmaker wants a guy who gets in over his head.
Because?
The idea of like, oh, no, that's a meal ticket. If the guy loses too much, all they want from you is to see a little something.
Is to keep losing.
Every month.
Right.
No, give me something. It's kind of like when you have a big credit card bill. You got to give them something each week.
Right.
Or each month.
Let us know you're alive and that you're aware you do owe Chase Bank this much money for all your purchases. Yeah.
You can't disappear.
Right.
But those guys love to have a guy paying them a little every month. And guess what? By the way, your account's still open. You can keep playing and keep getting deeper. Because as long as you're paying, that bookie is going to say, I love that dude. One, he's still paying. Not everything he lost, but he's still paying. And by the way, he still sucks. He still can't get anything right.
Right.
That's not so the Otani guy, okay, there's no way they give him that kind of a number without knowing who he is and who his connections are. But they don't say, oh, I don't think you can pay. They don't care. Are you still giving me something?
Well,
are you still getting there?
Okay.
Are you still paying me something every month? And it's okay. It's like a negative amortization mortgage. Just keep paying.
All right. But I believe that the bookie was quite happy to know he had the interpreter for the biggest star in baseball so deep underwater, because who knows what kind of intel he was getting on a day-to-day basis about injuries, pitching matchups, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. And just keep giving me a little bit each month and we're good.
I mean, well, and I think he also factored in Otani will backstop this debt one way or the other. Or he'll backstop half of the debt.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's not a dead end hole. It's eventually gonna work out. And in the meantime, you know, nobody cares what the gross number you owe is, as long as it's coming in every month or every period or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't.
Plus, when a guy is upside down,
he
bets worse because he's chasing it.
Oh, and
so therefore, he's even more valuable to the bookie. So you want a guy chasing it. You want to keep stringing him along until finally he literally can't pay. And then you're going to have to either threaten him, have somebody throw him a beating, or you just cut the line and you go, okay, well, in theory, he owed me X $1,000, but I made $50,000 on him on the way down.
Right. I don't care what the end number is, as long as it's not like they lost overhead.
Right. There's no inventory. They weren't like sending product out. We're out a hard cost of product or anything like that.
Exactly. It's still money coming in. It's still money coming in. As long as it's coming in, I don't care if it's 5% on the dollar. It's coming in, and we're stringing it, and it's okay. That's what they'll do.
Yeah. Yep. And you know what else? There's more of those guys out there.
Oh, yeah.
There's an ocean of those guys out there.
Right. You start out as a bad gambler. Then you get in trouble and get worse.
Yeah, that's a great line. Okay. Let's go to item number two on your list. Let's set the record straight.
Ooh.
With notorious J.A.Y. He was
throwing
some shade. He was chirping you on a pod a couple weeks ago when I talked about your documented season total record in baseball over under. And Jay said, but is it really? And I'm like, yeah, actually, I've been watching it for 20 years now. But is it really, he said again. And he repeated it the third time. And I was like, okay, well, I don't even know what you're saying here, dude. But I think he still, you know, hasn't forgiven you from the argument about Mike Trout. Because I remember when you guys went back and forth on that. So whatever. Okay, I want you to set the record straight. And let's talk about MLB lines that sometimes move before the season launches. And the fact that some sports books took the season totals off the board entirely after just the South Korea series, which other books said, nah, it's only a couple of games. We want one last surge of action because the real season doesn't begin for another week.
Okay. You just asked me four questions.
I know.
But you're going to have to guide me along the way because I'm going to leave some of those answers.
All right. Out. Answer number one, fuck Jay. Okay. Answer number two.
No, look, I'll give you this, Trevor. Anybody who kind of looks at a summary at the end of all of our run, which, by the way, is 25 years.
Jesus.
I can totally understand going, oh, that's bullshit. Okay, fine. Except the point there is he was questioning you, my friend, not me.
Oh.
Because he was saying, are you sure that's right? It's like, hey, for the first 15 years, Solly and the producers track this crap every year.
Right.
So there's that. So if he's questioning Solly's record keeping, I'll stay out of it. Okay.
Right.
But I pulled up the chart, and there's a point to this, Abe, which is when we started doing the football podcasts, I'll be the first one to admit we're doing football. I never know. Went out of left field, Zabe says, hey, by the way, last year, how did you? And you asked me a question. I'm like, I don't know.
I pop quiz you. Your pop record quiz. Keeping.
And I would, if I got something wrong the year before,
right?
Every podcast guy would say he wasn't 4-2; he was 3-2. Okay,
right.
Fine.
Right.
But the website and the radio show was as accurate can be.
Yeah.
And I might have made a mistake here and there on the podcast. Now, here's the deal. I started with you in 2000. And when I went 6-0, you said, I got to get this guy on the air. And we started doing the annual baseball shows. And from 2000 through 2018, I went 76-19, 80% on the nose.
Every year you'd pick how many teams?
I'm looking at the chart. Some years 6, some years 5, 3. There was no set number.
Right.
You know, as I used to say, I can't tell you how many winners I'll find. I'll just find them.
Right. You'll know them when you see them. Okay.
Right. So we did 80% and we quit. Then you started the pod and I started the website in 2019.
You started the website and I remember your words to me still echoing in my head. Uh-oh. You know, Zabe, I do not want to be a tout. I just don't want to be a tout. And I'm like, look at you now. And then I started thinking, shit, what if Mr. X goes absolutely ice cold? And then I wake up one morning and find out that he's stuffed in the back of a trunk somewhere. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I don't want that on my head. So as
I'd have been in that trunk, it would have been an 05. I mean, that would have been a long time ago.
No, you
asked me that on the air with Scott Lynn. You asked me that in 2006. I have a notes column. When you said, hey, have you ever thought this is way too hot and it's going to go ice cold? And I said, yeah, every year.
Yeah, right.
Every year I worry about that. But when we started the web, when I started the website 2019, that's 5 years, I've gone downhill. I'm only 13-6.
Gee.
Okay.
What a tragedy.
68%. Way down. Way down. So over
what you,
the 20,
what
24
you,
years.
Yeah. What do you attribute that to? Serious question.
You know, when that's a great question.
Just
when
people gambling,
asked me last year,
it had to come down. It was bound to come down, or are they getting sharper at the lines, at the season totals?
Good question. A guy asked me last year, if you hit 80% on baseball and, quote, only 64% on the NFL last year, why don't you just do baseball? And you know what I said? Because it's October.
Right. Well, yeah.
And I'm playing football. There's nothing wrong with doing a little lower somewhere. I don't have a problem hitting 68% over 5 years.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, gee, I wonder why it was.
Why don't you just do this? Well, look, I like making money, but it's also fun. And what else am I going to do with my time, for God's sakes?
Yeah. And I'll tell you this. The last 2 years in a row, 2022-23, I lost my number one pick both years.
Yeah.
Which brought my number one pick on your thing to 19-5.
You're and ice
he'll be
cold.
Like, hey, you lost 2 years in a row.
Right.
Okay. Sorry.
What was your number one pick last year? Orioles under?
I might have been.
Okay.
I think that was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't have that in front of me.
All right. And then
This year,
was
Tigers under last year. I was a loser.
Okay. This year, what is your number one pick since the ship has already left shore and people can follow along?
Yeah, I'll tell you the three this year for the main subscribers. I wrote this, my number one and number two pick, because I liked it so much, was the Orioles over 89.5.
So wait a minute, you picked them both. So you doubled up.
Well, it was a couple years. Hey, it's not the same team. You know, there's no history, don't matter. I like this Orioles team a lot.
No. You said your number one and number two picks this year
because
are the Orioles
because I
over.
Felt so strong about them, I was like, double it up. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you are doubling up on the Orioles over 89.5.
Yeah. Point was, they were so much stronger than the field. I said, count them as my one and two.
How are they looking right now?
Well, what are they?
It's early, obviously, but you know.
Sure. 12-6. I'll take it. Okay. Whatever. Their strength should be down the stretch, not early, but yeah, no, I'm happy. And the other two were Marlins to go under 77.5. Got like a 4-15 start or whatever they are.
Right.
And I took Boston Red Sox to go under 79.5.
Jesus.
They're off to a good start, but it's, you know, I still. So anyway, that was this year's three.
What are the Red Sox doing exactly? Oh, by the way.
Absolutely no idea. In fact, that was one of my points in my write-up this year was, at some point I feel like when no one knows what management's doing, it does trickle down to players going, what's going on here?
Right. Why do I care?
It's gotta trickle down. But by the way, you know, 2 days ago was Patriots Day, right?
Yes.
In New England, it's a holiday.
Big day. And Boston Marathon with a ball game.
Well, there's a old time, I don't know if I made this up or someone else, but there's an old time rule on every true Red Sox fan cannot give up on the season until at least Patriots Day.
That's going way back to when they were in the funk of their low years.
Yeah. Before we never give up till Patriots Day, mid-April. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So there's that. Okay. Cleared up. Now, as far as the discrepancy in lines for the season.
Well, I'm glad you kind of brought that up because it, as you said, this ship has sailed, but it's always been a challenge of this. When baseball over-unders come out, let's call it 1st of March-ish, numbers come out. Okay, you don't love to bet totals on March 1st when you got a month of spring training to go. Bad things can happen.
Unless you're betting unders.
That there's some truth to that, although these days, March 20th, they're bound to sign two free agents.
Yeah, that's a good point. Probably Boris clients at that.
Exactly. Yeah. So you hate that, but by the same token, let's face it, historically, over the years, whatever I like in early March, those numbers move. You know, those numbers move. I looked the Red Sox under 79.5 early March. They closed at 77. You know, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, 25 years ago, people would say, are X's heavy hitters that he gives the data to really moving the lines? And I'm like, I don't think so.
I hope not.
No, but well, no I offense. Wondered today. But the reality is, I always say this, I'm not the only guy figuring this out.
Right.
I'm not. And so, for example, what I did this year, I changed the format because I don't want to give you a play on March 1st and on March 23rd go, yeah, dude, I hope you didn't put that in yet because stuff happened.
Right.
But by the same token, the numbers do move and then you feel better. So what I did this year with subscribers is I gave you like a preliminary the first week of March. This is what I think I'm going to play. Now, if you're the type to say good enough, let's go, go for it. If you want to wait, wait. And then the last week before the season, I put out my finals. It was almost the same. There was some changes, but I'll tell you this. Okay. I'm not saying I'm you know, some genius. You know what I've done for 25 years. But here's the point. I'm looking at the chart. 10 teams moved significantly during the month of March, two games or more. 8 of them were on my preliminary list. So the point is, when somebody looks at a total and goes, oh, he said under 79.5, but now it's 77. I can't help that.
Right.
And, I can't help
that. And your mileage may vary. Shop around. Right. And a lot of books out there.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And that's why this year I changed the format. So I put it out early. And if you're ready to go, go. If you want to wait for the end, wait for the end. But, you know, you lose a game or two. The number of times that game or two comes into play is obviously very, very rare. But it sure it can happen.
And as long as there's a book that, you know, you can show it was available at this price at this time. Then
I don't need to show it. I don't care.
Well, you don't need to show it, but I'm just saying as long as there's not some egregiously off line that you claim, well, I'm taking the so-and-so under this number and that number doesn't exist. We know people.
Right.
We know people on text threads who claim they got a game and a team at a certain number. And everyone's like, okay. Bullshit. Where'd you get that number for that game? That's a common pastime on text threads. I don't know. I don't care. Again, your mileage may vary. Please check local
listings. I guess I'd say this. If I was sitting there over the last 5 years on the site putting out numbers similar to what you said, they wouldn't keep coming back.
Well, they wouldn't keep coming back. And also, many of your plays, they soar over or they dive way under the number. So it's not like it's close. There is wiggle room built in there, but okay.
But when we do the website and when we do the picks, it's all good. Then what you and I tend to do is talk on the air now let's say opening day or we have that. And I get it when the guy sitting there listening to the pod goes, well, I don't see that number. I know. It was 3 weeks ago. I can't help it. Yeah. You know, there's nothing I can do about it.
I gotta edit that. That had another piece of music on the front. It's supposed to be Take the Money and Run by the Steve Miller Band. We're going to take the money and run here. By the way, Mr. X's website is callmemrx.com. All you need to know is he shows his work and says, explains, here's how I do it and why I do it and my philosophy behind it, win, lose, or draw. And, you know, Mr. X leans into it. He is not emotionally nor financially disinvested in this whole thing, I can assure you. So there's not much more than you'd ask for than that. So I'm cool with that.
All right.
Now, I owe you a steak lunch because you were mad because Jay got it with the lovely Carol Maloney. So when you get back from Maine...
And they didn't even know what a scorigami was. Come on.
Carol, bless her heart, as she likes to say, is more and more detached from the day-to-day sports world, and that's fine. She's living her best life. She lives in Virginia now, which is hilarious because she's always been a Maryland girl.
She's still brilliant.
Yeah, she's all right. I like
her. Very brilliant.
Okay, yep. Save the rest of the stuff you typed up for next week or when next time we chat. And I'm going to go bet on some NBA props right now because I hear they're a sure thing if you know somebody. Wink, wink.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Mr. X, see you. That's it for me today. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday. Tomorrow, subscribers, you get the OGs, Scott and Solly, in their full glory. Subscribe now. Go to zabe.com/premium for more information. And we will see you next time. They got the money, hey, you know they got away. They headed down south and they're still running today. So you go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.